this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious...
He's done it! Jenson Button wins! Get in there!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
We've just witnessed a goal! No, a wink of a catatonic!
That was out of bounds!
Thank you, BT. Hold on. Welcome to the Out of Bounds podcast for another week. Amazing we've made it to show number 5, and amazing we've actually put out 2 episodes consecutively within the month as I welcome you to the show, Sam Tugwell. Well, we did actually record another one last week, but that's just fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, but we won't worry about that. Hello, you. Hello, BT. Hello, everyone. What a big day. I'll say day because we're actually here during the day. It's a little bit different. Usually we're here at the evening, but no, big one tonight because we're going to talk about... Microwies. I'm looking forward to our little chat about this, mate, because your power are falling by the wayside, but the Crows, my word, they're heading to Melbourne in September, mate. I'm excited, and I've got a few dollars in my pocket ready to go towards a plane ticket.
Is this a first for the show? We've actually kind of hooked what's actually coming up in the show and actually maybe put 5 seconds worth of thought into what we're actually going to be talking about over the next half an hour, if we go that long, of course, because generally just rock up, hit play, and then go, oh, yeah, that'll do it for an episode. But maybe this week we might have actually thought about it a little bit more. So we're not promising whether that means the show's actually going to be any better or not, but it's going to be something anyway. So we've got that going for us, I guess, there, Sam. What's been happening over the course of the past few weeks with you?
Oh, mate, look, work. I'm on holidays, but I'm still working. So
yep.
That's all right. Don't mind that. But hey, look, the show we were running once upon a time at the good old Radio Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the building is just starting to... I think it was last Friday, has actually been, you know, knocked down. So they were pretty sad times for a building that's been there for about 40-odd plus years with the station inside, up and running, you know, a lovely little community station.
Yeah.
Buildings got knocked down. The studios, which were so, you know, they were almost vintage, you know, they were very old school, the very old, you know, the sets and the computer systems and all that sort of stuff. It was all very much, you know, a very unique sort of setup there. And unfortunately, I had to start smashing them in on the Thursday night that we were there doing last show in the studio. So it was a bit sad, but...
So as you're in there, they're knocking down the rest of it around
Yeah, exactly. So the only thing that was operating was the on-air studio. It was really weird. It was like, you know, moving house, but you're still sleeping inside when everyone's moved and taken all the stuff out. So I don't know if you've...
What, you've had that before?
Yeah, I have. You're halfway through moving out and you take all the furniture out of the house, but you're still sleeping there for the night before you leave. So
I've moved once in my life and that was about 6 months ago.
Oh, well, there you go. So you can't quite relate, but look, that's... It was a pretty sad night, and we had to get ourselves our interview together for the show because we always have a guest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a phone interview with none other than Peter Walsh, who's a big name in South Australia and even Australian sport. A fantastic broadcaster, has been for many years. But the station was getting torn apart, and 5 o'clock was the time we teed up with him. We said, look, we want to be able to do an interview with you at 5. Is that all right? And he's down at the footy for the Crows game that night. Getting set for that. So he was like, yep, no worries, as long as we're done by 5:30. So we were ready to go. But just about 10 minutes before we were going to head in the studio, the people who were tearing down the studio next door to the one we were going to record in very shortly was basically saying, look, we're almost done in this studio. We're going to tear down number 3, which is the one we were going to be in next, like in about 10 minutes. So, and we just said, well, hang on a minute. No, because we're going to be on the phone recording an interview for our show, which is in an hour's time, in about 10 minutes. So we can't really have that happen. So we had to basically go, hey Pete, just give us a bit, we're going to have to try and sort these blokes out, these workers. And we managed to sneak into the studio just before 5 when the people in there previously were just done, so they couldn't, you know, knock anything down with us, with no one being in there. So we managed to get it all sorted out, thankfully, but I mean, a bit sad times to see the old station, which has been, you know, an amazing place for so many Adelaide broadcasters for so many years. And just getting knocked down and destroyed and demolished. It was a bit sad, but I mean, when you got an interview and you got big content like Peter Walsh, some things need a wait.
So was there almost a fight between you and these other guys that were knocking down those studios?
A little bit. Yeah, you could say a few sledgehammers were thrown. No, of course not. Yeah,
but before you knock down the studios, I'll knock you out, mate. That's how it's going to go. Like, that's what you should have said.
Could have said that, but I didn't want to be too aggressive.
But it's always awkward because like, if you've got the interview like locked in, you don't want to have to go to that person and say, like, Pete Walsh, like you had lined up. You don't want to have to go to him and go, oh, sorry, mate, our studio's been knocked down. We can't actually talk to you anymore.
Exactly. Well,
you just want to have a random conversation over the phone that's not actually recorded. But
exactly. I mean, 20 minutes of content for a show that's coming up in an hour's time is probably worth more than a studio that needs to be knocked down, which can be knocked down at any stage. So we made sure he waited, and they were all good about it eventually, which was all right.
Yeah, it was always interesting, though, those old, like the studio times when people want to knock stuff down or people that are in there previously, because I remember back at that place, there used to be a booking sheet for the studios. Now, it was on a normal A4 piece of paper. Maybe some other radio stations might actually have a more sophisticated way of booking things, like meeting rooms and whatnot, maybe online over computer devices. But this used to be written on an A4 piece of paper, so there used to be a lot of mistakes, I remember, with, you know, studio bookings and going in for interviews. And one of the things I learned pretty fast in there was always make sure you tee up interviews for like 15 minutes past the hour, because there's always some like 70-year-old person or something like that, or just whoever's in the studio before you.
Don't be, yeah.
They're like, yeah, I'll be done by 5:02. And then you go, all right. And then, you know, I remember in the early days, like, you used to go, all right, we'll just get the person at the top of the hour and be done with it. And then, so they're expecting your call. And then if someone lingers in the studio, you know, finishing off what they were doing previously by like 5 minutes or something, by the time you get to like your interview, it's like 10 past and you said you'd call them at the top of the hour, and therefore they're angry, like just everything turns out worse than what it should be, and just a lot of people are angry. So there's always the issues with those old studios back there, but look, very sad to see them go, Sam.
Yeah, of course. Well, almost very similar to your Brett Ogle story you were telling a few weeks back. Just, you know, you're missing by half an hour, mainly not because of the studio.
No, that was Scott McGrory, that one.
Sorry, we got a couple of them. There's been a few interview fails I think we've had in the past, showing our professionalism there. But Peter Walsh, though, I'll tell you what, we like a little bit of fashion these days. I'll tell you what, we wear some pretty nice designer clothing.
Who, me and you?
When we go to bed, you know, when we're wearing four layers of clothes, it's that cold nowadays.
Just to keep us warm.
Peter Walsh, though, I'll tell you what, the colours he wears, far out, it's almost like a piece of artwork. What he wears is quite phenomenal. I thought, you know, I wanted to ask him over the phone during the interview, what are you wearing for the game tonight? But it was a bit cold, so I thought he might have about seven.
It also sounds a little bit creepy. It's like, hey, Pete, what are you wearing?
Yeah, now you come to say it now.
Yeah, now you say it like that. Yeah, that is a little bit weird. But always is a man that wears rather loud shirts. I liken him to being the Dr. Carl of the sporting world, because, I mean, Dr. Carl Krutzelnicki.
Yes,
I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Gee, you pronounce the name all right.
He always is a man that wears loud shirts, and of course tune into his podcast, because that's some interesting stuff if you want to learn about.
You actually learn stuff in that podcast compared to ours. You probably lose brain cells listening to us.
Yeah, because you're drinking along listening to it to get through it all. But yeah, welcome Peter Walsh to the Dr. Carl of the sporting world, because yeah, his loud shirts. And I remember we actually used to rock up to the Tour Down Under when someone crazily thought that it would be a good idea to actually give us passes to actually talk to riders at that event for the past couple of years. But yeah, I remember we used to rock up at the start of like the day of stages to have a chat with a few of the riders and whatnot, and hopefully get a bit of content there. I remember Pete would rock up at the start finish line, and you'd be blinded by him because of the shirt he was wearing. It's just the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
His bright orange thing just like glowing at you. You think it's like one of those workers' vests, but no, it's just Peter Walsh.
Yeah, high vis. It almost is. So it's like you see all the like the Channel 9 and 10 guys walking through with their suits and done up completely, and then Petey rocks up and he's just trundling around in his nice shirt. And
well, that's the best thing about being on radio, mainly, is you don't have to wear anything that looks professional because you're not on camera. It's not just the face for radio, but also you just have the attire for it.
The next day he rocked up after the shirt, just had the Ugg boots on as well on the track pants. Because you can get away with that stuff in radio, like you said there. But you were just saying before we hit play on this one tonight, Sam, that he had a few choice words to some people like the Crows and whatnot, and how they might be doing this season.
Oh, flying, mate. You know, that was a great chat too. If you want to have a listen to that, get on the website. But just a slight plug. But I'll tell you what.
No, we don't allow that on this show. What are you doing?
No sponsors. What are you talking about? No, we had a good chat to him because he was just about to get stuck into the North and Crows game Thursday night. And of course, a pretty horrible game if you come to like goal kicking. I mean, the Crows, 28 points. I mean, I could kick better than that. Do you doubt that?
I'm just saying, I was going hot at 28 points. 28, I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, my kicking isn't ridiculous. It's pretty bad. I used to be an umpire. So
if you took on Big Tex Walker, you were saying you'd outkick Tex.
Not quite, but I don't think he was the culprit in 28 points worth.
Is this a story arc we should be getting going for this podcast? Like you versus Tex, and we'll try and drag it out over four or five episodes.
We could try this. I'm more than happy to give it a run, but I don't think I'll win, especially if we're kicking from outside 50. But anyway, I'll tell you what. Crows, though, far out. We are if you look at our run home and the fixture, I'm pretty damn confident about us finishing probably top two, Tim. You're probably going to look at me and think that's a bit stupid. But top two for me. We're heading to Melbourne. End of September, I'll be there. I've got some pennies set aside. We're going to head to Melbourne. I'm going to the granny because the Crows will be there. The only game I'm a little bit scared about, though, is the one that I've strangely picked out as the one game I'm going to go interstate to watch.
Yep.
That's the game we play against Geelong at Simmons Stadium, where it's going to be bloody cold and freezing with plenty of blustery wind coming through that ground. But that'll be the one game I reckon is a 50-50. But other than that, I reckon we can go undefeated all the way till September. I'm pretty excited.
Because there's nothing you want to do in winter than go sit by the seaside in the middle of the night and watch a game of footy and freeze your ass off over there. But that'll certainly be a good game. I mean, you know, Paddy Dangerfield playing for them over there and whatnot. And yeah, he's probably chosen a good game to go to there. But ideally, not the best way to save money for going to Melbourne in late September, early October by going to Melbourne a couple of months earlier and blowing all your cash over there. Yeah, come on, Sammy.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I'll knock that. But, you think about it, you want to go and support your team over there, and we're playing Paddy Dangerfield. I mean, that'll decide the Brownlow right there. Rory Sloane up against Paddy D, that's my call.
Yeah, but that's the thing though, right? So you've gone, all right, I'm going to go to the grand final, but what if the Crows don't even make it? You're going to be stuffed then, aren't you?
Well, hang on a minute. I haven't booked the tickets yet.
Right.
I'm just saying.
But how long are you going to hold out for?
Well, wait until we get to the maybe the semi-final, and then I'll go, okay, book them.
But then people might take them up.
No, they won't.
I take it all up and take the tickets and do whatever.
Well, then I'll sell them off for twice the price.
And you'd still go.
Oh, I'll sell them off to Port fans because they're going to be there. Oh, wait, hang on a minute.
I was actually listening to something last night, and there was a woman on a radio show, and she was saying that basically what she's done, because you know how the whole American election's going on at the moment and whatnot there. And basically what she said was she's going to go to the inauguration, so the the swearing in of the president over there in the United States and whatnot. And she's gone because she's gone, well, I want to see Hillary Clinton being sworn in as the first female president of the United States of America.
Like it's a sure thing.
And so the person that was co-hosting the show with her said, well, what if Trump comes in? And she's like, basically, well, we're going to see the beginning of the end of the world, aren't we? But that's the same thing. But she's just booked to the other side of the world for something that might not even happen. So
at least my trip to Melbourne doesn't sound so bad, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it'll still cost a few bucks, I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it will in Melbourne in September. Tell you what. Well, hang on. It's October, so maybe it'll be a bit cheaper. Maybe the flight people will be a bit stupid. They go, no, it's only September the footy's on. And not realise the AFL's actually done it in October this year, the GF. So
I'm pretty sure the airline companies would have already scoped that one out.
Nah,
just
no
to
way.
Capitalise, no especially way. From Adelaide to Melbourne. Because I remember it was a few years ago when Freo were playing in the grand final. Mm. And basically all the flights had been booked up and people were flying overseas to say Bali or whatever. So they'd fly from Perth to Bali and then down to Melbourne just so they could make it there. Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous what some of the people were doing. But I guess at least it's not a 4,500 K trip from Adelaide to Melbourne like it was from Perth over to Melbourne, so even if you did catch a bus over there, maybe, Sammy, you might be able to make it a little bit cheaper.
I would actually get... That's one of my options, though. I have been thinking about it. Probably get on a bus. You get all the Crows fans going. Did you think about heading on over to the Power when they played in the prelim a few years back against the Hawks? Because that was a pretty big, bandwagon across the border.
Well, luckily we didn't because we got done in the dying seconds and I would have just been extremely sad. I mean, I already was extremely sad because I was watching it on TV.
Yes.
But no, I didn't actually think about that one for some reason. But
I thought that was probably the lock-in.
I thought after the season we had, we'll probably be back there next year. And, I mean, look at the last 2.5 years. It hasn't quite eventuated the way we would have liked it.
It hasn't quite, no.
But, that was massive over there. But, yeah, I haven't been to the MCG since I was a little tacker, I reckon. So I would have been 10 or 11 the last time we were there. They went to Friday Night Footy there, Richmond and Collingwood.
What a blockbuster game. Two of the big feral weights.
Big Matty Richo and all that were playing back then. So
big Jukes.
So you haven't been to the G in a while, but of course you won't be there until grand final day if you make it, of course.
Exactly. Because the game's at Simmons. And we're thinking about going to the Hawks game as well on the day after against Richmond as well, now you mention it.
But then what if you make the prelim, right? What if the Crows make the prelim? Do you just hold off from going to the prelim in case you make it to the GF?
No, we're finishing top two, so we'll get the second chance anyway, even if we were to lose. So if we were to win the qualifying...
I was saying you weren't going to finish top two.
Oh, I think we will. So if we finish top two, we'll be there at home for the prelim. That's my call.
He's confident.
Yeah, I'm very confident.
And then you just go to all of them.
There you go.
So big times ahead in the footy world, eh? I've just given up. I don't think Port will make it, so...
Oh, okay. Right. Probably accurate.
I was saying to you before, I went around to my mate's house the other night and I forgot about our dismal loss to the Fremantle Football Club a number of weeks earlier before the bye. And I walk into his house and the first thing he hears is just a Freo theme song. Yeah. I get stuff, mate. I'm out of here. I'm going home. Catch you later.
Wasn't that a game and a half? How did Fremantle, the team who couldn't buy a game all year, were accused of tanking, somehow beat your power? What the heck? Come on.
Well,
there's an explanation.
I think the bit that rubs the old salt in the wounds was seeing their performance on Friday Night Football the other night. Mm. And just going, we seriously lost to that. I mean, there's some serious issues going on there, Sammy. But, yeah, not so great for the power this season. It's a bit up and down, so not going well.
Tell you what, Thursday night football, you mentioned Friday night football just then. That really whacked me out because I remember watching the Collingwood Freo game thinking it was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
So Thursday night football, whacking it out, making you think it's Friday night and the next day is Saturday, even though you've got a whole day knowing it's Friday.
I hope you didn't have to be anywhere on the Friday night and just go, oh, Saturday night, it's all right, I can get away with it. Oh, wait, hold on.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Do you like Thursday night footy?
I kind of like it for the idea that it comes on Thursday, but then afterwards it's a bit like a strange like jet lag sort of effect where you just sort of like, what day is it? What's going on? Don't really get what's happening. And so Friday night football comes along, you think it's Saturday, and then Saturday comes along, you think it's Sunday, and it's all because of this Thursday night game of football, you thought it was a Friday.
So that's a no then.
So it's a strange yes and no because I kind of like
see the thing about Thursday. The thing about Thursday night footy is though it seems like the weekend just starts a little bit earlier though.
That's exactly you know right. What I mean.
Exactly. Like you get that feeling,
but
from
it throws you off. So I love the weekend coming early, but then you forget the next day it might be Friday.
Yeah, right.
Might be. It is Friday. So that's my.
That's your 2 cents
worth. There we go.
Good chat, Sammy. Let's speak of other sporting events, though, because Wimbledon actually kicks off tonight when we're recording this. So I think you'll find this is actually a Monday our end. So if this comes out on Thursday...
It's already been and gone. Tomek's already been eliminated and we get carry on our merry way.
Well, they've done a McEnroe and basically been booted off the court for doing something stupid. And anyway, maybe we should start placing bets now. And when we release this, we can sort that out in the next episode. But yeah, Wimbledon kicks off tonight, Sammy. Interesting times ahead. How do you think the Aussies will actually go, though?
They're talking about Djokovic, apparently, is quoted to say that Nick Kyrgios is going to be fair danger. So maybe he'll pull something out. But I mean, they're two
still
larrikins.
Talking tennis here?
Oh, yeah, you go.
You're going to get at least one of them in an episode.
always does. The old zing. But I don't know if they'll go too far. He's saying the old Joker reckons he's going to go a fair way in, but I'm not too confident.
Once again,
on
still talking tennis there.
We're still talking tennis. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Seriously, like, do you think those guys have actually got any sort of talent that can go any further than maybe a couple of rounds in?
Certainly Nick Kyrgios does. I mean, Bernard Tomic has had some of his best results at Wimbledon, made quarterfinals, I mean, 3 or 4 years ago now, and played Djokovic in that quarter there. So interesting times ahead, but I just want to see a bit of antics out of him. I want to see just some craziness because, it just brings you back in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you certainly get some entertainment out of that. But it brings me back some memories from my tennis days and some of my proudest moments.
Yeah.
Back in the old...
Because you were a very big tennis player back in the day.
I wouldn't go that far. I used to play recreationally, of course. Some of my favourite memories, I would just like some of the opening nights you had at the club. So you just get all the barbies going and just get all your mates out there and have a bit of a hit around. And I remember I was going out with my tennis coach's daughter at the time.
That's always tough.
And also, I used to play in the team with her brother as well. And we used to play this game called Arse.
Yeah, right. Appropriately called.
Yeah, so it's like playing horse or whatever on like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater or something like that. And so if you lose, if you lose a trick, you get a letter. But in this case, in tennis, in this version of Arse, if you lose a point, you get a letter. And you're only playing in the service boxes.
It's a bit like Foursquare with tennis rackets.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh. Basically, what happens when you lose this game of Arse is you literally kneel down in the service box and everyone goes around the other side of the net to where you serve from and just tries to serve their hardest, like straight at your arse and that. So I lost the game, knelt down, and this was only probably 2 or 3 weeks into starting to go with this girl and her parents were there that night and whatever, and her dad was there watching us play this game of tennis. Anyway, so her brother, who's my teammate, lines up the other end, has a massive serve on him.
There's a fair meaning behind this shot too.
Exactly. He's like, you should have asked me first, mate. What are you doing? Anyway, so I kneel down and I'm just going, oh, this is going to hurt, isn't it? And basically just, he steps up to the mark, first serve, and just hits it as hard as he can and hits me straight right in the middle of me bum. Right, and maybe hadn't quite thought about the old content in between the legs as well, arranging that so it wasn't necessarily poking out. And so that was kind of between the legs as well, bang right on it, the serve. I killed over in a lot of pain, Sammy. And I remember rolling over and then looking up and I'll just see Katie's dad, the girl I'll see at the time, just laughing his head off and walking away. And I knew he was just saying, yeah, that'll teach you, mate, for going out with my daughter. Get stuffed. You probably won't be seeing that at Wimbledon, but it was a good story just
wouldn't
to tell
that
anyway.
Just fire up a few players at Wimbledon if you had that sort of what if you got an ace against you? And then you're like, all right, well, it looks like I have to bend over as well.
But ultimately, if you're not playing five sets and you're just playing in the service box, you wouldn't need a two-week tournament either. You can have the whole tournament over within probably a couple of hours, basically. Yeah. So there you go. You lose, you get your shot taken out, and then you just get out of there.
Yeah, that's the way to go. I reckon that's the revolutionary way of the way forward for tennis.
You reckon that's the T20 version of tennis these days? Well, stuff five sets, stuff three sets. Even stuff the one set. Just play a game of ass. Get it over and done with.
There it is. Oh, I'd find that a lot more entertaining. Hey, look, I know there's plenty of men like your good self that might even enjoy the women's version of that as well. So let's not go any further. But that may just be an entertainment.
Yeah, can we bring Maria Sharapova back for that? Or
no, drugs. Not good enough. They're here to be too deadly.
Yeah. I was going to say, we can just go around the drug ban and go, this isn't WADA restricted. Right? You can play again, Maria. Special exemption for you.
Maybe a special exception for ball boys as well. Do you reckon that just adds a whole new meaning to the game? Let's not go
to the meaning of ball boys, I reckon, if you're playing like that and getting hit there. Well, there we go. Well, that just about brings us to the end of another edition of the Out of Bounds podcast, I think you'll find, Samuel. So
relatively planned and relatively succinct.
I look forward to the next episode when we go back to our predictions of Wimbledon and actually see what happened there. So yeah, Kyrgios and Tomic went, and whether they had a bust up with the chair umpire and got booted out of Wimbledon. So we look forward to seeing that in the next couple of weeks. And until then, it's bye from us for now.